A very warm welcome, everybody, to Hearers of the Word, a podcast offered by Kieran O'Mahony. This is a reflection for Pentecost Sunday. For 2 years, I was a lecturer in the training college of the Church of Ireland. After a while, the students felt relaxed enough to ask questions, often challenging. Do you regret the Reformation? Was a memorable one. I gave a double answer, the first part of which was no, because the Reformation opened up so many new ways of engaging with the good news, not least of which was putting the Bible into the hands of ordinary people. It is not possible to regret such opening up. For both Protestants and Catholics, the Reformation was a time of new birth, a kind of Pentecost experience. Traditionally, Pentecost as a feast is usually said to mark the birth of the Church. This is true, as long as we remember that Pentecost is not just a once-off. Instead, the community of faith experienced and continues to experience times of renewal and new birth. The story of Pentecost itself is a kind of symbolic synthesis of the experience of the Spirit. Powerful imagery is used: wind, flame, sound, languages. Hidden within the story is a reversal of the Tower of Babel, not so much the obliteration of languages, but a proclamation, a message, which can speak to every human heart across all cultures. Not only that, but across the Acts of the Apostles, there are further Pentecosts as the Spirit erupts in people's lives. The original Pentecost story is located in Jerusalem, but we find mini Pentecosts across the Acts in Samaria, chapter 8, Caesarea on the coast, chapters 10 to 11, and in Corinth, chapter 19. In other words, our originating tableau is programmatic. Across the centuries, mighty figures have been at the service of the Christian project. A likable example is Francis of Assisi, a figure who continues to inspire. Pope Francis takes his name from him, and the Pope's teaching on care of creation is directly inspired by Saint Francis. The European Reformation was itself a wake-up call for all Christians, both Protestant and Catholic. Historians used to talk about the Catholic Counter-Reformation, and they now talk about the Catholic Reformation. And at the time, great figures emerged again, such as Therese of Avila, a profound mystic and a gifted communicator and writer. Much later on, the Second Vatican Council, 1962-65, was appreciated at the time as a kind of Pentecost experience, as the Spirit brought about profound changes in what it meant to be Catholic. The opening up of the Church was later hindered, sometimes by the leadership, but the work of the Spirit went on. The initiative of the Synodal Pathway, a cornerstone of the ministry of Pope Francis, can be appreciated as a delayed follow-up to the Second Vatican Council, or even a version of Vatican III. Like Vatican II, the Synod in Rome will meet over a period of years, once in October 2023 and again in October 2024. Certain features make this assembly different. Firstly, the whole Catholic world was directly consulted, something which never happened before. Secondly, Pope Francis has expanded the participants to include non-bishops, including significantly, and for the first time, some women with the right to vote. Thirdly, the issues to be faced are well known. They are urgent and edgy and neuralgic. And finally, expectations have been raised, precisely because the desire for change is strong. None of this is merely a personal initiative of Pope Francis. Not only does he have a team around him, but also it is really a putting into effect of the core teaching of Vatican II. At the heart of that council was the rediscovery of the Church as the people of God. This is not really new, going back as it does 2,000 years to St. Paul, but it has certainly been obscured, putting it gently, for many centuries. Once more, we find ourselves living in interesting times. It is always risky when a highly centralized organization tries to decentralize, or in political terms, when autocracy engages with democracy. But there is no other game in town. Now is our chance to fulfill the unrealized potential of the Second Vatican Council as we move decisively from maintenance to mission, from a top-down model to a participative model calling for the engagement of us all. This has to work, otherwise. So today is indeed a birthday celebration, but one with a difference. Humanly, we are born only once, but the Church is reborn in every age. And today we are experiencing such a rebirth, including labour pains, if I may stay with the metaphor. And in this diocese, we have been praying all week. Come, Holy Spirit, revive and renew us. Come, Holy Spirit, inspire and enthuse us. Come, Holy Spirit, unbind and release us. Open our eyes to see God's grace around us. Open our ears to hear God's voice within us. Open our hearts to welcome God among us. Send us out with joy to live the gospel. Send us out with peace to act as one. Send us out with love to build up hope. Amen. Thank you very much, everybody.